You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Andrew Little joined me again this week for our regular chat. This week we discussed why Kerrier Prison not being expanded into a mega prison, state housing and bailed defendants, and the cannabis referendum that will be happening who knows when. Here is Andrew.
Waikerea will not be expanded into a mega prison, we've finally learned. What implications does this have for the criminal justice system?
I think the previous government had planned a fairly significant prison at the Waikerea site. It went from sort of a prison to house 1,500, then 2,000, then kind of 2,500. I think latterly there was even talk about a prison accommodating 3,000 prisoners. This government's concern always was that with such a large prison, you don't, you know, and losing its ability to deal with people in a more, well, intimate's the wrong word, but a more confined sort of area, is that you just institutionalise people who actually need some of the individual issues attended to. So we were never a fan of that. We also think that mega prisons don't help with dealing with the gang problem, which is a very serious part of the kind of the prison culture in New Zealand. And you don't do that, you don't deal with that with the big prisons, you actually need smaller prisons for that. So what it means is, as we come to make our decisions about the prison system generally, we know that there are short-term pressures we have to deal with, and we're sort of dealing with that at the moment, and then we've got to make sure that what prison system we have, first of all, you know, fits 21st century expectations, but secondly, fits in with our long-term goal of reducing the prison population by 30%. So we're still in the throes of making a decision about what sort of prison we would have at Waikerea, and for that matter in other parts of New Zealand, as we replace prisons that are...
Because both you and Calvin Davis have said that Waikerea is in a pretty poor state, so will it likely be getting sort of upgraded, I suppose?
Yeah, I'm clearly of the view, and I know Calvin Davis is as well, is that the present Waikerea prison is barely fit for human habitation. It is a classic old-style thick concrete walls, nothing redeeming about it at all, and we're sending people there, or men there, who have committed crimes, they've been convicted, but we're saying to them, we're going to put you in here and we want you to get better and come out as better people. Well, it just ain't going to happen in the current state that Waikerea is in. So look, there is a need to do something with Waikerea. The precise details of that is what we're working through at the moment.
So does this mean the Bail Act will almost certainly be reformed?
Cabinet has already given me the authority to look at areas of sentencing and the criminal justice provisions that need to be reformed. There's a paper going to Cabinet in the next couple of weeks that will start to set out with a bit more specificity the areas that need a very close attention. Bail is obviously one of them, and how we manage bail at a practical level, but also what the law says about it, to get the balance between keeping the rest of the community safe from dangerous people, but also, you know, respecting the basic principle that you're innocent until proven guilty, and people not being locked up until any charge against them is proven.
And you've also said that you'd like to bring in huge reforms to the criminal justice system. What can we expect from this?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is, you know, you go right from the point of when police get involved, which is how people tend to come to the attention of the criminal justice system at a young age or even an older age. So the way we're policing, what we're doing with young offenders, right through to what we're doing in prisons. And so we've got to look at all the laws that cover all that off, the institutions that people are coming up against within the criminal justice system. And then for people who are detained, what we're doing with them while they are detained. So beyond just what's in the law, but the practices and procedures that we use, the interventions, the, you know, what we're doing towards rehabilitation, towards effective reintegration. The whole lot needs a close look at, which is why, look, all the stuff will come together in the Criminal Justice Summit that we're holding at the end of August. It's turning into quite a big event because we've had so many expressions of interest in it already. So it's about getting a holistic look at it, then working up a program of change, and I'll have an advisory group to help me with that as well.
And recently you said Housing New Zealand aren't letting defendants who are bailed into state homes. Why is this happening?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I've got that from just so many lawyers and actually judges as well who are feeling frustrated that particularly young offenders who were trying to keep, even at the custody stage, remanded in the custody stage, keep them out of prison. For some of them, there is a suitable address for them to be bailed to. It's usually with a family member from the extended family, but they live in a Housing New Zealand house. In order for them to be bailed at that address, the tenant has to approve or seek the approval of Housing New Zealand for that, and Housing New Zealand has been declining approval in a lot of cases. Other people have described that to me as a Housing New Zealand policy. When it sort of burst into publicity earlier this week, Housing New Zealand said there is no policy, but the practice, at least at the front line, is that a lot of people who could be bailed to a Housing New Zealand house are finding it difficult to get approval.
Phil Twyford has said that there's no indication staff are turning those who are bailed away. I mean, who is right here?
Yeah, and I've spoken with Phil about it. Phil and I both agree that although there may be no kind of nationwide policy for that with Housing New Zealand, we do want to understand what's happening at the front line. And I've got to go on the word of lawyers, not just defence lawyers telling me this, it's prosecuting lawyers who are telling me they are people who they're prosecuting, who they know would be better served by being bailed to an address rather than going to prison. They're feeling frustrated by it. Judges clearly are feeling frustrated by it. So we just got to clarify what the story is. A Housing New Zealand address will not be suitable for every person to be bailed to. There'll be good reasons why Housing New Zealand would decline approval. But the word I'm getting is that it seems to be routine, and that cannot be right. If the best place for a defendant while they're awaiting trial is a home with other people who they have contact with and it's safe and secure for them and for the community, then we should be doing everything we can to bail them to an address that meets those conditions.
Because of these people who have not yet been convicted?
Yeah, these are people who have been charged. They've had their appearance in court. The issue of bail has come up. And obviously, for bail, the judge wants to be sure that there is a suitable address, and the police for that matter want to be sure that there's a suitable address for them to be bailed to. And that's why the police have a saying this as well. The police want to be sure that whatever address they're being bailed to, they're not going to be subject to other influences. Often, this situation arises where the offenders or alleged offenders' home is not a suitable place. Either they've fallen out with their parents or the offending has happened in the home. But then they present a risk to the community, and it's then just about finding another suitable address. And if they have a family member who happens to be living in a Housing New Zealand house, then every effort is made to get them into that address. But as I say, everybody else in the system tells me that Housing New Zealand has been frequently declining approval for that to happen.
So will a policy come out of this? Will you have discussions with Housing New Zealand to make it or easier or more transparent, I suppose, the process of getting a state home if you're on bail?
Yeah, well, I'm working with Phil Twyford on it. Again, we're agreed that we want to make sure the right things are happening at the right place. We both agreed this highlights part of the problem that we have with our housing shortage. This is just another kind of symptom of it. But look, we'll do that. And I think what the publicity has done is given lawyers and judges the confidence that when they're in a situation of dealing with a bail application where there is a suitable address that is a Housing New Zealand address, then they should expect actually that they can get the person bailed to that address unless Housing New Zealand has a very good reason for it not to be the case. I think the message I've been given to those in the court and the profession in the courts is don't accept no for an answer. First up, do push back and query it.
And finally, you've said the referendum on decriminalisation of marijuana might be pushed forward to 2019. What's the reason for this?
There's actually been no decisions at all about the referendum so far. I want to be clear about that. But in the kind of preliminary discussions that I've had with colleagues, there's two arguments. One is save money, run it at the same time as the general election. That meets the commitment and the confidence supply agreement with the Greens. On the other hand, people are saying, well, we don't necessarily want a general election campaign dominated by a single issue, being the issue of cannabis law reform. So have it at a different time, or do it by way of a postal ballot at a different time. So I've now been given the job of putting the referendum and the process and so on together. And so I will now get underway, and we'll get some decisions made over time by Cabinet. I think in practice, because we also want to make sure we have a good information campaign before the referendum takes place. There's no money in last week's budget to do that in the next financial year, so the earliest I foresee that we could run a referendum would be late 2019, but that's just set that up. The range of dates might be end of 2019, it could still be the end of 2020, but no decisions have been confirmed about that.
We do know that it will be non-binding, however.
Look, I don't detect any wish at the moment for it to be a binding referendum. In the end, that's a decision that Cabinet gets to make or may make. It may require legislation for that, but at this stage, the commitment in the confidence and supply agreement with the Green Party is not for a binding referendum, it's just a referendum. So we're not planning on a binding one at this stage.
And just finally, will you be supporting decriminalisation?
Well, I've got a view. I think there are benefits to decriminalisation. I think we've got to lift it out from a kind of the underground kind of approach we take to this particular recreational drug. I think we've got to take it out of the hands of the gangs. I think by decriminalising it, you destigmatise people who need help in relation to their consumption of it. I still have a residual, very, very strong concern, and this is just from the study I've done on it, on the age at which young people get access to cannabis, because the human brain is not fully developed until our mid-20s, and even reasonably modest use up to that age can cause long-term harm. So there are real health concerns about this, and that's why we want to see the issue treated as a health issue as opposed to a moral issue.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.